We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter. This is the Dane Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast, coming at you Tuesday night after the Timberwolves lose to the New Orleans Pelicans by 3 on a last second Brandon Ingram buzzer beater. We'll get into that last play of the game and the 2 or so minutes that led up to that shot, but I think the story of this game is how the Wolves just kind of came out casual tonight. That was the eye test if you watched the game, and it's very clearly the message from Finch and Cat and Ant after the game, just that they came out tonight without any fight. The Wolves, they're an interesting team that way. They simultaneously have a lot of individual talent and also clearly a very small margin for error. If they aren't doing the things that inspire them, like bust their ass on defense, then their offensive talent just isn't good enough. We've seen this year. Yes, you've got Karl-Anthony Towns, great offensive player. D'Lo, really good playmaker who can hit tough shots. Anthony Edwards, an explosive athlete who can get at you at the rim, beyond the line. But we're just at the point in the season where we know that those three, for one reason or another, just aren't the Brooklyn Nets, where they can just kind of fall back on their talent offensively. Cat and Ant and D'Lo are good, but they're not that good. The Nets, they can get away with being lazy and still kind of out-talent you at the end of the game. The Wolves, they tried to do that tonight in New Orleans. Not a great opponent. And like when they've tried to do that against other teams this season, they don't have the juice. Yes, the Cat and D'Lo and Ant threesome have a really good net rating this season. We talked about that extensively after the last game, giving them their due. But what is behind that really good net rating is defense. What has made that threesome successful this year is that the defense has been really good when those three have shared the floor. The defensive rating with those three on the floor this season is 99th percentile. Tonight was not a 99th percentile defensive performance from the Wolves, and that's because they can't be casual. And they can't be casual and expect to find defensive success. Here's Kat after tonight's game airing some frustrations about the Wolves kind of feeling themselves a little too much coming into this one.
We acted like we was just going to walk in and get a win, and it's going to be sweet. We're going to come in, get a 5-game winning streak. It's cool. It's the NBA. You got to work for that. I ain't just giving. We came out here acting like it was going to be just given to us this game. That team fights. We know what they do. We've played them 3 times, and we've garnered great leads against them, and they've come back every single time. I don't know what the confusion was. I don't know if we thought it was like we the Warriors all of a sudden. I don't know, but we got to play basketball our way. We didn't do that in the first half. Game got tight. We tried to flip a switch. The switch wasn't flipping. And then finally we got some shots to go in. We just great offensive players, and it's not the way to win basketball game. We didn't play to win a basketball game. I felt like we played hoping that they would give us the game.
I will say the fight was there at the end of the game tonight, even if it was a little late to the party. With 5 minutes left in the game, the Wolves had kind of been running their offense through Cat, and they were coming back. With 5 left, they'd cut the Pelicans' lead down to 3, and they They found Cat in single coverage on the left block. He turned left shoulder on Valanciunas, and he just missed one of those point-blank righty hooks that he normally hits. The Pels then went down on the other end of the floor. Devontae Graham hits a three. Chris Finch calls a timeout. That felt like a backbreaker. But to the Wolves' credit, it wasn't. After the Finch timeout, the Wolves came out. They went on a 7-0 run. Cat hits a three. Then Ant attacks the basket, gets two free throws. Then Ant drives and hits a driving runner. 7-0 run, and the Wolves have taken the lead 112-111 with 3.5 minutes to go. Pelicans fight back as they did this back and forth kind of down the stretch here. After that, the Pelicans went on a 6-0 run from there. Herbert Jones made four free throws. D'Lo missed two threes. Josh Hart got a dunk. It was another time where you're like, okay, feels like they're dead. But then, kind of out of nowhere, because he certainly started the game very slowly, Anthony Edwards just took off. He hits a step back three. Then on the other end, it's back and forth between him and Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram goes and hits an and one three that fouled Jared Vanderbilt out of the game. So now the Wolves, again, you're kind of like, okay, Vando's out, and one three. They feel dead again. Wolves are down 121-115. But then Ant hits another three. Ingram hits another three back at him. Ant punches back by getting to the rim. He gets a bucket. It's now Pelicans 124, Wolves 120 with 42 seconds left in the game. Still at that point, you know, 4-point deficit, only 42 seconds left. Felt like a long shot. But it wasn't. The Wolves cut it down. Ingram turns it over on that possession, dribbling it off his leg. So the Wolves have life down by four. There's now 21 seconds left. Finch calls another timeout. And understandably, I think we all sort of saw it coming. He drew up a play for Ant. Ant had 12 points over the last like 2.5 minutes leading up to that without missing a shot. So I very much understand going to Anthony Edwards there. And you might just disagree with this if you watch the game and saw the play I'm talking about here, but I didn't really like the play that Finch drew up here. Again, they're down by four, 21 seconds left that he drew up for Ant. If you watch the game, again, I'm talking about the out of timeout play that led to a missed Ant three in the corner. And it wasn't the play I didn't like. It was one of those Brad Stevens like bombing it from half court to the opposite side corner, and they executed it well. They inbounded it to Cat, who then kicks to Ant in the corner there. They kind of, I don't know, hit the cutoff man to the corner sort of action in that way. It was kind of a fading three by Ant, but Ant was hot. So I understand why they went to it. And again, I don't dislike going to Ant there. He was rolling, but I didn't like the corner look for Ant for some reason. It's hard exactly going back and watch it a couple times to pin down exactly what it is. Obviously, Ant's been making his, he's been shooting great from three recently, particularly in catch and shoot situations. And technically, that corner three is a catch and shoot look. But I almost feel like an Ant three would have had a better chance of going in that situation if Ant just isolated at the top of the key and just pulled up from three. It's just so rarely I feel. So rarely the Wolves run actions for Ant in the corner, and so rarely does he even shoot threes out of the corner. It looked to me like a play that they would normally run from Malik Beasley. Didn't go in. Again, don't hate the play. Don't hate drawing it up for Ant. Didn't think those two things really merged together. But speaking of Beasley, the Wolves weren't dead off of that miss. Jane McDaniels fought for the offensive rebound. He got fouled. So the Wolves maintained possession from there. The Wolves ran a dribble handoff with Cat and D'Lo that led to a ball reversal for a made three, big made three by Malik Beasley with 13 seconds left. The Wolves are now down by one. So they fouled Devontae Graham on the inbound. And Graham actually missed one of his two free throws. So the Wolves are now down by two with, I think there was like 8 seconds left at that point. And they drew up a play. They got a clutch bucket from D'Lo on the drive, tied up the game 125-125 with 3.5 seconds to go. It just kind of felt like a game that was going to overtime. But I think in that feeling, I forgot that Brandon Ingram was just as hot as Anthony Edwards was. Josh Okogie subs into the game to check Ingram on the last play, but he lost Ingram off of the initial catch, and Ingram cans a deep three for a buzzer beater. Pelicans win. It did, though. My point is it did end up being a game where the Wolves showed fight. But as Anthony Edwards says here in his post-game press conference, they kind of just started trying too late in this one.
I think I blame myself. I think I had 0 points in the first quarter. 0 points, zero rebounds, like three assists. Didn't do nothing in the first. I think I had zero with 2 minutes left in the second, zero rebounds, like same stat line. So I blame myself. I can't perform in the fourth and not perform in the first and second quarter. I wasn't struggling to get into the rhythm. I just wasn't playing at all. Yeah, it'd be a difference if I was taking shots. I wasn't taking shots. I wasn't being aggressive. I wasn't making plays. I wasn't doing anything. I was just out there.
Ant's final stat line tonight was 28 points, 4 rebounds, and 5 assists. So he definitely doesn't leave that game with a just out there sort of stat line. He had 20 in the fourth quarter, 7 of 10 shooting in the fourth, 4 of 5 from deep. Very few players in the league can do that. The kid is undoubtedly special. But at the same time, very few great players or even just all-star players in this league have some of these mental lapses that Ant is having right now as a 20-year-old. It's hard to pin down exactly what it is that contributes to these games where Ant just doesn't get it going mentally. This isn't the first time he's talked about just kind of being lost for half of a game. It's also not the first time he's talked about this team just not being locked in. As he was talking tonight, I thought back to after the third game of this season, actually after the Wolves also lost to the Pelicans, where Ant got up their post game and said, this team needs to lock the F in. We're now at the halfway point of the season, and the locking in is just not consistently there. I asked Ant about that after tonight's game.
Ant, after the last time you guys lost to the Pelicans, you said that this team needed to lock in that game. Seems to be a similar message tonight. What do you think goes into that where this team sometimes does not lock in? Is it being a younger team, or is it something other than that?
No, I don't think it has nothing to do with being young. I just think, like I said, once we win a couple games, we all 15 of us, we get up beside ourselves and think that we're the team to be, and we're not.
We talk a lot here about the specific things that this team needs to do on the floor to make the playoffs. Talk about how they need to rebound better. We talk about how Cat has to turn it over less, how D'Lo has to make more shots, how they need to defend without fouling more often. But another big thing with this team, as we're reminded tonight, is just bringing it. A question looking forward at the second half of this season is, you know, what percentage of these final 41 games is this team going to bring it? And if the answer is going to be under 80%, which I think would, I don't know, probably be the number in past Wolves seasons, like, that's not going to be enough to make the playoffs. And again, that's because this team's margin for error is just too small. All right, let's mix in a quick break here and talk more about this game that brought the Wolves to 20-21 at the halfway point of the season.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back talking about the Wolves' three-point loss in New Orleans on Tuesday night. Again, the Wolves are now 20-21 at the halfway point of the season. Ironically, that was the Wolves' exact record at the halfway point of the year of the season where they fired Tom Thibodeau 3 years ago. The Wolves were 19-21 when they fired Tibbs, and Saunders coached the 41st game that season. Saunders' first game, they won in Oklahoma City, 20-21 that year as well. It's interesting in hindsight to think about how much of a failure that 2018-19 season felt coming off of the playoff season in 2017-18. Even though at 20-21, they had the same record as this team, which is a team that I think we all agree feels like it sort of exceeded expectations thus far. But at 20-21, it does feel like the Wolves going forward probably need to go over 500 in the second half of the season to meet the new expectations I think we kind of all have for them. So can they do it? And if they do it, that will only be the second time since 2005 that the Wolves have been over 500 in the second half of the season. The last time the Wolves won more games than they lost in the second half of the season was the 2017-2018 year when they made the playoffs with Tibbs and Butler. But those are the expectations, I think. Win more games than you lose in the second half of the year and make the playoffs, even if that's 21-20. Expectations, because I think this team has shown that they can do that. They've shown it for extended stretches of the season. It's just about consistently doing it. And I think doing it more consistently is an expectation. We are at the point, though, where so much of achieving that goal, achieving that expectation, does feel mental with this team. And I don't know where I personally fall on believing in the mental makeup of this team. You know, sometimes I think it's their biggest strength. You see the fight from a Pat Bev and a Vandal and what that inspires in the group. But also sometimes I'm confused about the resilience of this team and just don't really know where they are mentally. This answer from Cat postgame, which maybe some of you have seen floating around social media or whatever, I found to be very bizarre. And it made for one of those moments where you're just kind of like, I don't know where this team is mentally. Here's Cat after the game, after he was asked, and I think that specific question here is important. He was asked, is that a next step for this team to get to where you want to go? Coming in to beat an opponent you already took care of before. Here's Kat's answer to that.
We can't fall for the media hype. It's as simple as that. We can't fall for the media hype. The same thing I've been told in Kentucky is the same thing. I know how it is. I've seen it. They've done it to me enough. You know, they build you up, you know. I've always been told, you know, they're gonna keep feeding the pig. They're gonna keep feeding the pig, and then as soon as it's as big as possible and it has the most, it's the most wanted. It's gonna, you know, they're gonna slaughter you. You can't listen to the media. Like, we know they hyping us up. Oh, great, great. It shouldn't be something that the media make us feel good. We gotta go out there and play. We should be feeling good. We should be out there 4-game winning streak. What, we've done this twice. This is our third time, I think, we've done it now. And we never get to 5. So let's get to it. Let's act like we want to get to 5. And then let's break the standard. Okay, get past 5. Let's get to 10. Let's get to 15. You see the Memphis right now? They up for 10 tonight.
That's where I want to be. I want to have that kind of momentum, that kind of feel. We should be happy with four wins in a row. That's something we should expect to do. We should be reaching for 10. All right, maybe we lose one. All right, cool. Guess what? Get on another 10. You know what I'm trying to say? That's what winning teams, we got to be like that. We can't get the foe and act like it's cold and we're going to just be giving games. We ain't giving no games in this league. We ain't earned no – Timberwolves ain't what? We ain't done much of anything in luck. How long? We ain't getting no respect. Ain't no one giving us respect. We got to go earn it every single night. Can't be four, can't be five, can't be six. It got to be 10 plus. We should be looking at it like that. We should never be looking to lose games the way we lost tonight. That's a good team, but we better. We didn't go out there and play like we was better. We went out there like they were just going to give it to us. That team worked hard. They play hard. They got people playing really well. They playing really well. They're 500 teams recently. Like we gotta expect to come in and fight no matter what the team is.
So a lot to unpack there. I'm going to take what I think is the least cynical path for a response to that answer. And I think it's just that Cat is still figuring this out. He's figuring out who the Wolves are. And honestly, the Wolves just haven't been in situations like this where they feel like they have pressure on them. And that includes Cat. He's only been on one good team in his career. I'm not sure which media is pushing that pressure. I'm not sure who is hyping them. I don't feel like I've really heard that. But when I do hear something like that, and I hear that response from Cat, I think about how Chris Finch has said that being young is a synonym for being inconsistent. And I think another synonym for being young is being a team that is constantly trying to figure out who they are. That's also what the Wolves feel like right now. The good news, I think, is that as a basketball team, hype and everything off the court aside, like I think this team does know who they are supposed to be in between the lines. They've carved out a basketball identity, and I like Cat's answer to my question about that a lot more.
Carl, you said you guys didn't play basketball our way tonight. At the halfway point of the season, how would you define basketball our way for the Timberwolves?
We cause the most turnovers in the league. Having our turnovers and our defense translate to our offense, get some fast break points. Don't give them up fast break points. I mean, just off my first sentence alone, we had 8 fast break points. I mean, that's not Timberwolves basketball. That's not how we've been winning. That's not how we garnered this 500 record. You know, we didn't do that by playing this way. We played tonight. We caused turnovers. We got on transition. We made points. You know, we should be a team that's using our youth, our athleticism, our skill, our especially offensive skill to our advantage. Our defense should translate to our offense. And then when we get in a half court set, which is not a all the time thing, a rare thing, then we should be, you know, executing at a high level. I just think that we didn't play Timberwolves basketball. It's pretty simple. I think if anyone who's a fan of us and a fan of this organization and this team knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I think that's the right answer. We do know what gets this team going, and that is defense, the chaos, the turnovers, the defending the three-point line. It's a little concerning that none of the described identity there is about offense at all, really. But at the same time, if he would have said that, that would have been a made-up answer. They are still searching for an offensive identity. They don't have an offensive identity that they lean on night to night. They do have a defensive identity. It's what Kat just talked about now 41 games into the season. I know that's wild to say with the Timberwolves, but it's true. This team is good defensively. And if they do bring energy on that end, things more often than not do work out for this team. All right, let's wrap tonight on Prize Picks to hit on a few other specifics from this game. Kat did have a big game tonight. He settled into a rhythm in the second half after kind of jousting with Valanciunas a little bit in the first half. And Finch rewarded him by playing Kat the entire second half, all 24 minutes. Kat finished the night with 26 points, 8 boards, and 5 assists. I took the over on 8.5 rebounds and over 3.5 assists. We knew this would be a game where Kat would receive a lot of attention down low, given how New Orleans has guarded him the first 3 times they played him this season. And I thought Kat handled it pretty well, again, particularly in the second half. I did miss the rebounds over there, but the passing by Kat was on point tonight, so we did hit the over on 3.5 assists. I also took the over on Jared Vanderbilt points, which was, for some reason, set at 6.5. Vando actually had 7 points in the first quarter alone. As we've been talking about, Vanderbilt is expanding his offensive role on this team. I don't know why Prize Picks dropped him down to 6.5 for tonight, but I'll take it. Vanderbilt finished the night with 8. I also took the over on 9 points for Patrick Beverley tonight. He finished with 10, which means Beverley has now had 9 or more points in 10 of the past 12 games he's played in. There was definitely a minute restriction tonight for Beverley that probably contributed to the over-under there. Beverley only played 21 minutes in the game. Again, part of that was minutes restriction, but part of it was that Finch closed the game with Malik Beasley in with the starters over Patrick Beverley. And, you know, just shout out Malik Beasley here real quick. I thought this was maybe his best game of the season from a fitting in standpoint. And to put that on the back of, you know, what I thought was a pretty good game from him in the previous game as well. I don't know if Malik Beasley starts to have a 10-15 game run here that looks a lot more like last year, I'm going to think back to that Sunday game in Houston as how we started to kind of see him begin to fit back in with this group. We talked about that big three Beasley hit late, but overall he just fit in with 18 points tonight, 6 of 8 shooting from deep. That's what they need. And Beasley was a team high plus 12 tonight. So overall on Prize Picks, that's 3-1 for me on the night. We're up to 77, 71, and 6 on the year in those picks. I don't know how many of you are tracking your Prize Picks down to the game, but I do know many of you are playing. If you haven't tried Prize Picks, I think you know how it works for me babbling about it on here. Just pick your over-unders and see where you shake out. Prize Picks will also throw you a $100 sign-up bonus if you sign up using the promo code DANE when you create an account. So here we are, halfway point of the season. We made it. The Wolves are 20-21. For all of you who bet the over on, what was it, like 33.5 wins on the season for this team, like, yeah, that's looking like a pretty good bet. Like I said tonight, even in frustrating games like this one, where it feels like the game unnecessarily slips away, the Wolves are still exceeding the expectations that Vegas set for them this season. Now we just got to, those damn media members, we got to, take care of their expectations. Tough streak coming up here over the next week for the Wolves. They're at Memphis on Thursday, home for the Warriors on Sunday, then back on the road for the Knicks and the Hawks on a Tuesday, Wednesday, back to back. I suppose every 4-game stretch feels important when you're on the fringe of the playoff hunt, but this stretch definitely is important too. It's certainly a step up in weight class from the OKCs and the Houstons and New Orleans of the world that the Wolves have been fortunate enough to play recently. And, you know, I think we're going to learn about a lot about this team and how they respond to playing four more formidable opponents, 3 of 4 of which are on the road. I haven't pinned Britt down for a pod time yet this week, but look for that at some point in the coming days. If you don't hear from me before the Memphis game with Britt, you'll certainly hear from me no later than after Thursday's game in Memphis. I'm heading down to that one in person to cover it. So if I don't talk to you before that, we'll definitely chat then. Until then, I'm Dane. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you're dancing like nobody else around, yeah. Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.